Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Guidance is internal. Ignition sequence starts. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Permission to board, please.
Permission to come aboard.
Permission to board.
Permission to board.
Do I have some permission to board that sweet mothership?
This is the Permission Granted Podcast. Here's DA.
Welcome inside the PGP, the Permission Granted Podcast, everybody. The show about the show within the show. We appreciate you being with us, and this is us pulling back the curtain on the show. You can always listen to us by downloading the podcast on the DA Show podcast feed, PGP, but also on its own podcast feed, Permission Granted Podcast. So check us out, either one of those two podcast feeds. And when you do listen, if you haven't yet done so, rate and review us. That does help other people find us as well in their searches. It is time to break down the 12 DAs of Christmas, although I will do a little teaser. Side B features Mraz talking to Shep, and it took 45 minutes. Now, Mraz, for Side B, how long did you think you were going to have Shep on for?
Whew, that's a good point. I don't think I had an idea, but my main goal, I was shooting for about 20 minutes. I didn't want it to be too short because I didn't want to cut Shep off. I certainly didn't think 40 to 45 minutes was needed or warranted. But we had discussed, basically, do I edit anything? And my main belief here is because it was such an explosive week with Shep, and he basically wanted to point fingers and be accountable. If I edited anything out, then he could always play the blame game again. Well, you didn't get my full story out there. So I guess the 40 minutes has to live. So every single sentence and word he's uttered is on the record.
So you wanted to prepare yourself against any litigation going forward?
Sure, of course. How could you not want to prepare yourself against that? Because, unfortunately, I was once the king of excuse-making, and we heard a lot of excuses from Shep. So rather than anything down the line happen with Shep, and he could point to, I never said that, or you edited, or you altered tapes, we're not doing that. Everything will live forever on radio.com and everywhere podcasts are, every single word Shep has uttered around what happened last week.
Okay. All right, let's get into the 12 DAs of Christmas. Now, AB, let's start with the rankings, okay? The Schwartz going to the vet after cutting his hand came in at number 4 for us. Number 4 for us. You actually had this a little bit lower down in your list. You had this at number 6. A couple of weeks ago on the podcast, you said, I don't think we got the number 1 right. My number 2 is what I think the number 1 is without a doubt. I thought, thinking back, when I heard that, oh, he must mean Schwartz getting his hand cut up. You did not mean that. Why did you not have Schwartz going to the vet in your top 5?
You know what? I'd have to go back to you and look at my list 1 through 12.
I'm going
to
give you your list, okay?
So here's
Okay, so here's number 5. Number 6, you put Schwartz going to the vet. Number 5, Weekend at Berman's. Number 4, Nancy Mraz. And not the fart is when she called in to defend herself with the quote, Sean got his stupid genes from his father's side. Number 3, the Patriots funeral. Number 2, the SAT montage. And number 1, Sean Forash.
Yeah, in retrospect, I probably could have bumped it up a spot or two because I was about to say like any other year, and Schwartz probably wins in a landslide.
I think so.
But maybe that's me again subliminally trying to get back in Nancy Mirasch's good graces by giving her more points. I know how much she dislikes me here. So, yeah, if I had a redo, I probably would bump Schwartz up, but no higher than four, because I think I had a different order. But those three that are my top three are everyone's top three, and I don't think that Schwartz can jump them this year.
Interesting. Now, I will say I did not have fake Mraz in my top three. Now, that's interesting because it is one of these only on the DA show type of storyline that is impossible to have predicted or recreate. I had it a little lower. I had it number six because I thought Mraz's bag over his head Giants rant was maybe the best Mraz quote-unquote moment this year. I had that at number three. But I think what we found out, Mraz, last week in dissecting the PGP on the PGP was that maybe everybody else has been there, done that with your Giants rants, and that this one just didn't hit as much because we've seen it before.
Right, which also opens up the door for something we talk about every year, but we don't fully do because we don't really know how to run it online with the different polls, and that is, would our listeners react better to a rant where they wouldn't be fatigued by it? Or is it a bogus Bilotti Kaplan so sick and tired of me thing? You know what I mean? Because if we give the listeners a sixth of the share, maybe they would help bump it up. Maybe they're not fatigued by it, and it's just internally our own blind spots are getting in the way, which I think could happen with any of us.
Well, let's ask Bogus that exact question. Bogus had Mraz's bag on his head, ranted number nine. I had it at number three. The reason that I had it so high was that not only did Mraz do an entire show with a garbage bag over his head or a paper bag, but he also was on the verge of tears. I mean, there was moments in it where you actually sounded like you were weeping over the Giants losing a game, which is always to me like, what? You're crying over football? So that's why I guess I can never get over this type of stuff because I haven't felt that way in so long. But Bogues, was this a case where you were like, eh, we've seen the Mraz Giants rant thing before?
Yeah, there's definitely Mraz fatigue on my end. and like in particular, like part of me wants, as good as it is for the show, like part of me wants Sean not to feel like this much longer because I just don't think it's good for him to care this much about a Giants-Eagles game
in
then
October.
Maybe not. Right, and then, like, maybe not the rest of his family. Like, I don't, like, you know, we've had this conversation on the air, like, about, you know, it's Sundays or Sundays. Like, my kid's birthday is on a Saturday or it's on a Monday. It's not on Sunday. And, like, I want him to get over that hump and realize that football's not number one. And then, yeah, like, it was a very fun 4 hours because it did go the entire show. But if there was not the Pat Shurmur rant, I think that this one would have gone up higher. Plus, there's also just, there's a lot of Sean moments in the top 12 every year because that's the beauty of Sean. And something's got to fall back so that it's not, the list is not the 12 Seans of the year. And that to me was the one that I felt most comfortable moving down because it was, you know, somewhat repetitive.
A totally reasonable take. And it is a danger that we run into, and I've actually worked through this with Mraz. I'm like, we can't just have like eight straight Mraz crazy things happen for the 12 DAs because, you know, then you're right. It's like the 12 Mrazes of Christmas. So, you know, in retrospect,
doesn't quite have the same ring as 12 DAs of Christmas now, does it?
In retrospect, I made a mistake here. I did. And I'm going to admit this on my ballot. I should not have Mraz's bag over his head rant that high. And not because it wasn't great in the moment, and it was. And not because it wasn't memorable, because it was. Like, him sniffling through an October loss to the Eagles is, like, so ridiculous under a bag. But because when I look back at the rest of my top five, it just can't stand over the other ones. Because I put the Patriots funeral one, and I put Vince Quinn and Peter Schwartz and the vet story at number two. I thought the wedding fart scandal, though, is an all-time great story and tells so much about this dynamic of Mraz's family and who's out to protect who, but who's also out to protect their own self-interest and this kind of guilt and what do you do for mom? And, like, it just said so much, and it's, of course, because Mraz looks like he'd be the guy that would fart at a wedding, and it's a terrible fart, you know, and people still talk about the fart. And, you know, it just, it is so great on so many levels that I had it at number three. But then, or at number number four, but then I had the SAT at five, and I just can't, in retrospect, put Mraz's bag over the head rant over the SAT. The SAT thing is just that great, and it is. It shouldn't have been this low for me either. I guess when I was thinking about it and listening to it, I'm like, yeah, okay, he took the SAT, and I forgot the emotions, though. Even listening back when I did, I forgot the emotions and the intensity of Bogusch's anger towards me. And also, it slipped my mind how this was a war waged on good versus evil with our listeners. You know, there was this whole morality play of, did Mraz get what he deserved? And I think everybody likes Mraz and or loves Mraz, but there is a part of Mraz with our listeners that wants him to get his comeuppance, that they feel like maybe he got lucky, that maybe he's lucked into things, and that he kind of skates by. And this was a morality play of people wanted him to be punished for being proudly stupid. And when I came back with 11-10, it had deflated everybody. Don't you say, Bogues? Like, forget just you and Pete. I felt it from the listeners that they were like, oh, he got an 11-10, so he faked his way through this too.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same kind of backlash we discuss with the guys in the newsroom about Sean's upward trajectory in terms of the company and his place on the show. It's like, it is petty, and it doesn't reflect well on any of us for feeling it. But yeah, people wanted Sean to get a 7 to finally lose. But once again, the universe conspires into confusing math and whatever to him get an 11-10. And then on top of that, like, of course, there's nothing humble about Sean taking the 11-10 and putting it in his back pocket and throwing it on everybody's face again. Like, he could have very quietly and just gone, okay, thanks very much, and that's it. But no, instead, he's out there basically holding this up as if it's 100%
and literally said indisputable,
and it's not.
Like he's
yeah,
in third
literally
grade.
Said exactly.
I mean, you guys were a little ridiculous
it wasn't good.
Too. I mean, again, you guys were all openly rooting against me, and then suddenly I'm the bad guy for being like, you know what, screw you guys, I did get this. But whatever, we went over that on the show.
But do you see that, Mraz, that because you're kind of defiant in the face of education, and you've always just kind of like rationalized away, kind of, I don't need to be smart, I don't need to read books, I don't need to get good grades, I didn't need any of that. You know, because of that, people have always wanted you to be put in your place. And they like when we have the year of the buffoon. They like when we criticize you. And this was a chance to actually stamp it. And when it wasn't stamped, everyone's like, oh, come on. He got away with another one.
But guys, look, we do this show and the backdrop. I know everybody stays for the nonsense, but the backdrop is sports, right? And anytime there's an underdog or anytime somebody counts somebody out and they thump their chest afterwards, we love it, right? Like, what is the one thing that we will look back on and go, I absolutely love that part of Kirk Cousins' career? It's going to be the You Like That video. Like, me saying na-na-na-na-na is Kirk Cousins saying you like that. Like, yes, I am not the smartest guy in the world. Kirk Cousins is a terrible quarterback. But he had a moment, and everybody counted him out, and he was so pumped that he basically defied everybody's thoughts that he gave a You Like That in the camera. I gave the na-na-na-na-na because I was getting counted out. If everybody was comforting and rooting for me and saying, no, you know what, you got this, you got this. There's no way I'm clapping back with a na-na-na-na-na. That was me saying, screw you, against all odds, chip on my shoulder, I prevailed. That was what na-na-na-na-na was all about. To hold na-na-na-na-na against me, I find it being ridiculous.
But except the fact that but Kirk Cousins did that after he won a game, won a game, didn't lose like an overtime, didn't like, and had he somehow after the fact they said, well, actually, you know what, Kirk, you didn't win, he would have went, you know what, I'm sorry about that. My apologies on the how do you like that.
But if the You Like That game also featured the same pass interference from the Saints-Rams game, he's still saying you like that and not taking the win back. Basically, what DA did was the pass interference from that NFC Championship game, and the Rams don't give back that NFC title.
It's more like Kyrie Irving just talking his way through meandering loops and then saying the earth is flat and then finally having to take an earth science test and mistakenly being given like a B+ and being like, nah, 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 see, I always knew my earth science, when he was so obviously wrong, indisputably wrong on everything else.
But and this is ironic because what's going to come up here on side B. The only thing I currently find more suffocating than anything Shep related when it comes to the DA show is this damn SAT argument. It's breaking my will. It's just like, how we're going to go in circles and never, ever in the history of the DA show agree on this. But the point is, like, we still today don't fully, like, understand how the test was supposed to be graded. So we can make the case that I'm not 11-10.
See, we do. You're making me upset again.
No, you don't.
But we do. No, you're choosing to not understand how it's supposed to be graded.
No, you don't. Because then there's always the question of, like, who knows? Maybe I would have gone 90 for 100 on the 100 questions missing. Like, there's so many variables that go into it. So to just, like, purposely stamp your feet down on what I got and say, well, no, I definitely got this lower grade. Like, the true fact of the matter is we don't know what my real grade was for the SATs, and you can't declare it one way or another. So if you're going to stick your foot
Except
in the mud,
you were declaring,
like,
but you're the one declaring 1110.
Because you're declaring a 700. If we all agree we could declare it an incomplete, then that's fine. Then I think we find a middle ground. But if you're going to tell me I can't declare it an 1110, you can't say you declared it a 700. Like, there has to be some middle ground.
Sean, I've never said what the number should be. The only number that's ever come up is if DA said, I just take away the essay, then it becomes this. But I've never said you got X score. My point is you did not get an 1110. So if you want to agree on incomplete, I will do that in a second, because you didn't get an 1110. Or except you got an 1110 out of 2,400, which ends up being the same point.
All right, well, I guess the overall point here, DA, and not to take too much of the lead in thunder here, is maybe you did grade your SAT. Maybe we all grade the SAT controversy wrong, because if it is still that, you know, angry, a passion between all of us here on December 23rd, 2020, then maybe that is the moment that should have stood out as the number one moment of the year.
It might have. I know. I mean, it elicits so much passion. So Kaplan had it at number 3.
Right. You guys don't have my top 12 because I didn't email it. I have it in front of me if you needed to know any of that.
Kaplan had it at 3. I had it at 5. Bilotti had it at 4. Bogish had it at 2. Where did you have it?
I also had it at 2.
So it ends up finishing in the final standings at 2. So upon listening to everything leading up into the Pat's funeral, and I really thought about whether the Pat's funeral was my number one, and I kept coming back to everybody was so good that it was kind of hard. Like, I don't know if we all peaked so well as we did for that segment, but then listening back to it, I'm like, I wonder if that still resonates with the hearty, gut-busting laughter of some of the other moments. And then when we had the advanced analytics today, what was your favorite 12DA moment? And then the Pat's funeral won. I felt validated.
Yeah.
But I wonder, do you think that was recency bias, that everybody heard it today and then said, yeah, that's number one? Or do you think that truly, like, this, the year is defined for us as that is our apex moment?
Yeah, I think there's a little bit of recency bias. Full disclosure, I actually had that the lowest rated out of everybody. We had a couple ones, a 2 and a 3. I had it at number 4. And I think the bit's really good, and I love the bit. I was laughing at it hysterically now, even when I did re-listen to it and everything like that. But I don't know that, you know, looking back and you listen to the top 12, that as far as, like, holding my stomach in pain, I don't want to knock it because it was great and I loved it and I had it in my top 5. I just don't think, when you think about the history of the DA show, you'll remember that was the number one. I think you'll actually look back on the year and think of the SATs or a wedding fart or something like that in the, you know, hysterical moments of the DA show all time. And you're going to think, wait, that wasn't number one. The dynasty stuff was, like, it just feels like a very forgotten number one beyond this year.
Bogues, where do you stand on it?
Well, so, I mean, I had Sean Farash as number one, and I had that down. I wrote that down as number one before I went through everything, because that to me just encompasses so much of the entire operation. And it's such a preposterous thing. And on top of it, that we went 8 years and never was ever mentioned. Like, this should have come up before that random day this summer, which just adds a whole other level of intrigue to it. But the point you made on the air during the show on Wednesday, and then just now, DA, I think is a good one in defense of the funeral, is that it was a rarity for us in that it was a pre-produced thing. Like, it was, there was nothing, or, you know, it wasn't organic, it wasn't off the cuff, it wasn't out of nowhere. Like, we all sat down, we all did something, and we all did it in different ways really, really well. And Zach was perfect and goofy as the priest and all of it too. And I think it deserves a little, almost like bonus points for being like a skit as opposed to us just all of a sudden being on some crazy ass tangent.
Yeah, that's how I felt that it's different and special. It's that it wasn't a spontaneity where we just fall into something and it becomes hysterical because we all riff, which is the magic of the show and the magic of us working together, is that we all share this really common bond of a sense of humor. We all know how to poke fun at one another. We all know, we just all have this great chemistry in real time of riffing. And it's like a great jazz band. Like, we just have that. And so that's where a lot of our 12 DAs come from.
Yeah.
It's like the reaction to Badlands doing and forgetting the Admiral's Feast is a perfect example of something that is inadvertently an iconic moment because of our riffing and making each other laugh. Yeah. The Patriots sketch is very special to me because everybody had a part and a role in this. We had pre-produced it and planned it, and everyone crushed it. I mean, it was so funny. Like, that really is maybe Bilotti's finest moment on the air. It is that good what he did. I mean, Mraz's joke writing and Bogus's, your joke writing, and everything was just so sharp and funny and perfect that while it wasn't gut-busting and, like, roll on the floor, like, I can't believe my sides hurt, it was so special in a different way that I thought it was still deserving of number one for a different reason.
Yeah. It's funny because I kind of looked at it in a good way, like it was our own little mini version of Curb Your Enthusiasm, you know, with the music going. It's kind of like that humor you got to get, like the slow-moving funeral part of it. But where you guys are raising it up because of, you know, the pre-plannedness and not being spontaneous, I think that's why I knock it down notches, because I think the beauty of the 12 DAs and everything that has gone into this DA show for 8 years is the greatest moments are truly, you know, basically something that wasn't pre-planned and organic. Like, it is easier to have a moment where you realize this is so good and so crafty and well-written when you have, you know, something that we were pumping 2 days in advance and we all worked on all our eulogies and it wasn't something that just came to our mind where, like, it shouldn't be punished. But I think maybe in the back of my mind where you guys are giving it credit is why I'm punishing it compared to the other moments, because it wasn't spontaneous.
I think one of the things, though, that really makes it great is the teamwork aspect of it, is that everybody had a role and everybody executed it so well. And some of the times that we fall into the 12 Mrazes, it's kind of like just, how can we all pile on you? What ridiculous thing happened to you that we make fun of, which is your mom's fart, your fake evil twin, your 75th anniversary.
True.
You took the SAT and may or may not have gotten the score. So that's what was so great about this, is that everybody had this role and they crushed it. I do want to, let me see. There was something about Bogus's rankings. Bogus, you were like, Evil Mraz is number one by a long shot, and that's who you voted number one. And you had called this shot weeks ago on the PGP. Why did you feel so strongly that Evil Mraz's twin had to be the number one?
I mean, again, the fact that this was never brought to our attention for so long, and even the two of you working together for that much longer, I can't believe that such a preposterous story was not more front and center. And then the story by itself is nuts. And then the fact that we basically tore it apart and proved it 100% wrong within 15 minutes after being told that it's been years and going on and no one can get an answer and no one can figure this out and no one has seen this guy or anything like that. And then we found pictures of him and like it just, and then the fact that people, like, I don't even know how to explain it, that like people, and I said this to Sean on the air, like that they thought that this was the best you could come up with as a secret identity for like your far right wing conspiracy theory guy. Like, if it happened to me, if there was like an Andrew Rogish somewhere, people wouldn't think that was me changing my name. They'd make fun of me that I had this like weird cousin being a dope somewhere. But like people around Sean thought that Sean's master plan was to just change the first two letters of his last name so we could, you know, rant about presidents and whatever. Like, there's just so much about it that is just mind-boggling.
Well, not only is it people around Mraz and his inner circle thought that Mraz was faking an identity to spout right-wing conspiracies or run rallies, but that more people around him thought that this guy was definitely trying to piggyback off of Mraz's celebrity. And, and like nobody said, wait a second, this is all crazy. Except we did when we heard it. We're like, wait a second, this is all crazy. But yeah, everybody within West Babylon thought either this was Mraz's fake identity to do something politically, or this was a guy trying to steal Mraz's identity. Neither which was true, but that was everybody around Mraz saying it had to be one of the two.
And remember, there was so much that went into it. The guy that he used to be on the random New York message boards for radio stations that nobody knew about, that our boss reads. Like, there were so many parts of this that were bad. This was actually off of Trash Tuesday. And I have this at number six, and I think maybe I partially punished it because living it in real life, you're like, yes, it's funny to look back on and laugh, but it was so mentally draining on me that I don't think I fully appreciated how you guys viewed it and how you guys appreciated the funniness of it, where Bogus wrote it down at number one right away. Like, I wrote it at number six going, something still doesn't sit well with me on it. And I don't think I fully appreciate it from a listener's standpoint, if that makes sense.
I could see that. I like Bogus's point, though, that this is the very essence of the show, is that only this could only happen on our show. It could only happen, really, surrounding Mraz. I don't know anybody else in my life that anybody, you know, this type of thing could happen to. And that it just popped up randomly on a Trash Tuesday instead of being this kind of long-form, years-long play is extraordinary. Bogues, do you have to run for the show right now? Because I have one more thing I want to get to.
No, I'm good.
Okay, excellent. So ultimately, Sean Forash and Evil Mraz finishes at number three, but it will be remembered forever. And that's what I think is so remarkable about the 12 DAs this year, is that in terms of, Mraz likes to say, telling the story of the DA show, I don't think you can tell it without the SAT controversy. I don't think you can tell it without the evil twin Sean Forash. I don't think you can tell it without Peter Schwartz going to the vet. And I don't know if you can tell it without the wedding fart from Nancy, which is why I had that so high, which is four different moments from one year that specifically all kind of like perfectly encapsulate the ridiculousness of the show and what happens every single day. Wouldn't you say, Mraz, that that's why this year going into the 12 DAs felt like it was a different type of year?
Right. It was a deep class where we felt like maybe there wasn't the ultimate number one, like where we had Torg Bellinger a year ago and you knew that was so insane it had to be number one. It was such a deep class, which I think caused chaos in the voting, if you will, where we all had things all over the place because, you know, kind of the beauty of it. How could we all not enjoy everything that we put out there and like stuff better than the other, and to have four things that we will look back on? I mean, if we're doing the show 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 15 years from now together, we're going to look back and easily rattle off any of those four moments DA said and put ourselves exactly where we were when we first heard it. And I think that's truly amazing and truly a testament to how good the show can be.
It's an incredible class. It's an incredible, incredible class. I had a suggestion from a friend of mine, Pens, who has showed up on this show before, and his younger brother, who's a big time listener of the podcast and the show live as well. And their request was, how about one podcast, one PGP of just the 12 DAs and our reaction to them? So basically we played one almost every day at 6:20 over the last 12 days. Just take the 6:20 segment and just keep putting them together to tell the story of the entire year. Mraz, you don't even have to do this. We have Connor for one more day. We can have him do this.
Yeah. Well, when do we have Connor for one more day?
Well, he's in studio today, right? And is he back with us next week? Because Pete's working from home.
Oh, good point. Yeah, I'm not sure who's on the schedule full next week. Yeah, I'd have to look at that. But yeah, that's a good point. I mean, would that serve as the PGP next week to end the year?
Yeah, probably. Wouldn't that be a cool idea to know that there's just one string, 12 to 1?
Call me crazy. We might have done that year one or year two, where we put out a podcast of the 12.
Sounds like something we might have done, yeah.
Yeah, but I think that's a great idea. I think that's a good end of the year, and I think that's a very great listen for anybody, and it's great that it could live forever that way. I think that would be awesome. And as you said, we basically know the time we played them almost every day, so that would be, I think, really easy to do as well.
I wonder if year one when we did this, or year two, whenever we I think we did try this one of those 2 years, I don't know if we had the reaction to it. I think we might have just played the moments.
Maybe not, but the reaction to it and reliving it, yeah, kind of become like a documentary of the year. Can I also just say one more thing before we wrap on that point?
Yeah.
You know, like we all kind of had the back part of our list, right? And obviously we get to that end where some people have stuff at 12, and then that's what creates those first four out. I just personally want to vouch for a moment. We never heard in a Stuck in the Chimney. We never heard in the first four out. Didn't make anybody's top 12, but was my number 12 moment of the year. And I just want to get your guys' thoughts on it, whether you forgot about it or it just you didn't find it that funny. I think we forget, guys, that we had terrible math by me in which we didn't realize that the year 3000 wasn't 100 years away. And I cited a Twitter account, Chef Homeboy RD, who put this out and didn't realize he was wrong. Yeah. And then we had him on as a guest, and he basically was fighting with you about it. And for the fact that nobody even remembered that moment or thought about that moment, I think just speaks to how great the year was. But I did have that as a number 12. We never even heard it in a Stuck to the Chimney. What a forgotten great moment that I'm sorry. I'm going to put my foot down and go, damn, that should have been on a list.
Well, I had one of those. I think you're right. It was such a good year that it was hard to find space for Chef Homeboy RD. But my answer to Chef Homeboy RD is, your colleague, your high school peer that won Most Likely to Host a Talk Show.
Yeah.
Good to one. Have, what was that guy's name?
Justin Stroker.
I mean, how Justin Stroker, now I put him as my first team out. He was my number 13. How Justin Stroker wins High School Yearbook Most Likely to Host a Talk Show, and you were insistent that you came in second, as though there was high school ballots. It was like the Heisman. Like, you knew that Peyton Manning came in second to Charles Woodson. And that we had Stroker on and that he crushed it. That Stroker was so good.
He was great.
I'm like, how does this not make the top 12 or even the first four out?
I'll tell you why Justin Stroker got punished. And this is my theory. Justin Stroker and the evolution of Stroker coming on the show was a direct correlation to the town going crazy for the Sean Forrest stuff.
Yeah.
It basically was like Frasier to Cheers. So I think because the Sean Forrest stuff was up there, kind of the Justin Stroker stuff gets forgotten about because it's a branch off of Sean Forash, and it would feel like we're doubling up on the Forash bit in the 12 DAs.
Okay, that's fair. I will also say that I thought that the Dunstan checks in thing is really funny, and that it speaks to this larger point of how absurd our breaking down of all the sports movies was during pandemic. But I felt like, you know, a Justin Stroker's better than that. Because a Justin Stroker is just, again, this slice of total idiocy.
You're right, DA, you're right. But let's not forget, you can't have 12 moments of the year and completely eliminate the fact that we did Mothership at the Movies this year.
And I agree with that. Now and if there was maybe a montage of the Mothership at the Movies, I don't know, Bogues. Like, do you think that Dunstan Checks In was the perfect way to encapsulate pandemic DA show?
That's a tough question. Maybe their number 12 could have been a mix of some of those things because I mean, so many of them were just insane. I mean, like spending time on Ed being in the back of a frozen like banana truck. Like there's a lot, and you know, we were stumped by the fact that wasn't Madison Square Garden in Eddie. Like there were a lot of things where we were way off the rails.
Yeah, we were breaking down the stats of The Natural, what Robert Redford's
right.
OBP would have been. I mean, we went through how the Mighty Ducks and Mighty Ducks 2 automatically get, you know, involved in the Olympics. I mean, there was a lot of funny stuff there.
So I do think, though, when we think about Mothership in the Movies, doesn't the 2-week span of Ed and Eddie come to mind right away more than any of those moments? So when we look back at the files saved forever, like this folder, unless you're Shep, you're always going to be able to find this folder of files. Every year we know, like we could go back and it's very easy to see what number 112 DA was in 2013, whatever. And those 12 are saved in these every year. When you see Ed versus Dunstan Checks In, you're going to laugh immediately looking at that file going, I'll never forget that year we watched Ed and Eddie in back-to-back weeks. Like, and that is a way to save it, encapsulate that forever. Dunstan Checks In was grouped in because it was the year of the monkey with all those movies that week. And I think when you think of Mothership of the Movies, unless you are doing a montage of all of those moments, you're right, be a little time-consuming. I guess probably could have done that. You think you hit Mothership of the Movies, but you have to hit it in those 2 weeks of Ed and Eddie because that was peak DA show craziness.
Bogues, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think that's probably a fair point. Like, that was kind of the poster child for the entire operation. But like, on its own as a singular moment, does it match up with the other ones and beat certain other ones we just mentioned? Maybe not. But I like the idea of it being this kind of like ceremonial place for like our ode to 2020. Like, that wouldn't have happened without all of this mayhem. So it needed its own spot, and that was probably the best example of just how crazy the whole thing was.
I know it didn't happen on the air, but how about the oopsie not even making not only the 12 DAs or the first four out, not even a stuck in the chimney. Now, I don't know if it was graded down because it was a PGP moment.
Definitely.
But Mraz crapped his pants on the PGP as I was talking to him. He had to have his mother-in-law throw new underwear down the stairs to where he does the show from. How? I mean,
his mother-in-law, too, not even his mom. Well, if my mother-in-law was here, I would have probably never come out of the basement.
There's no question. If my mother-in-law and that happened to me, I would have walked into the river and just said, it's over for me.
So, maybe I'm the only one who remembers this. So, much like Bogish on Wednesday brought up the offsides rule in the NHL being changed, we did have, and I can't tell you off the top of my head, we did have a moment 2 years ago that happened on the PGP. I don't remember the moment, but I remember the circumstances. And basically, we debated this. We might have even debated on the PGP, and we came to an agreement that, hey, the PGP could have classic moments, and maybe they could be replayed in drops and all of that, but that doesn't actually count to the 12 DAs, because the 12 DAs is what happened on the actual show, not the extension of the show. So I remember these rules that were in place, but maybe somebody crapping their pants and their mother-in-law having to throw underwear down becomes extenuating circumstances where you need to change the rules, if you will, put the DH in the National League, you realize time has passed, and maybe this is something we learn going forward, that if something that crazy ever happens on a PGP, it does need to count towards the 12 DAs.
I almost wonder if next week, I know Mraz, you're out, Pete's working from home. Bogues, are you with me next week or are you out?
No, I'm not. I'm off too.
I wonder if I need to do in the middle of the night, just me, the four shows, because I'm going to be in there until January 1st on Friday. If I do a kind of like a leftovers, and we have Justin Schroeker, Chef Homeboy RD, Bell Bisque DeVoe, and the Oopsie, just to give those the proper run they deserve.
You know what I really like about that idea, DA? Pete, after being off for 2 weeks, having to do the work of dig up and editing that. I've done enough of the editing with the 12 DAs. Pete wants to sit home all cozy now after 2 weeks off and produce the show. Matter of fact, as we speak, he already sent an email with all the guests. He's really trying to show you he's working from home. I think that's a great idea. I think the more work we put on Pete's plate while he's home, the better.
He'll kill me if I tell him to do this. He's going to kill me.
Why would he kill you? He should be happier than ever. 2 weeks off, first Christmas with Timmy. Here we go. Cut up Sean crap in his pants. I think that's perfect timing. It's great.
But in terms of it as an idea, do you think that that's a worthy end to the end to the 2020?
Absolutely, I think it's a worthy end because, I mean, geez, DA, we're doing this whole PGP discussing all of these moments, and I'm sure that there have to be listeners who listen to this countdown one by one waiting for their moment. Maybe they were waiting for an oopsie. Maybe they were waiting for Justin Schroeker, and they never even got it and are stuck in the chimney. That I think, absolutely, I think a leftovers, like we'd be eating leftovers from Christmas anyway as a New Year's week thing, I think it's a perfect idea. I think it's really cool.
I mean, I wonder who I have with me because the three of you guys are going to be gone. So well, I have a different update guy. Bilotti's sliding into your role, Mraz, but not an on-air role. And then I've got another producer, whoever Bilotti is supposed to be, back of the show.
I think 2 days you get, and this is a 12 DA hat tip, get me Rubinoff. I think Rubinoff comes back off the bench and is returning.
Wow.
I'm pretty sure, don't quote me on that, but I remember seeing his name on an email for a couple days. It might even be Monday and Tuesday. A get me Rubinoff pops back in.
For those that are wondering who get me Rubinoff is, Sam Rubinoff is a young producer who is very good at what he does. He originally was on WatchDA.com as the understudy to Cap. He then kind of graduated to the board as well. But during pandemic, he has not really worked much for us because of the distance between where he works and coming into New York, or where he lives. And so we haven't had Rubinoff in a long time, which has meant that the Sheps of the world have gotten the reps, and that's where Mraz says, get me Rubinoff. Right.
It also means, by the way, Kaplan's basically given back 3.5 weeks of vacation because he's had nobody who could fill in for him.
No kidding.
So, Yeah, on Thursday's Christmas Eve show, me and Bogus will not be on camera. And I said, absolutely, that's fine, because Kaplan hasn't taken a day off. And basically, since March, we've all taken all these days, and Kaplan's been there day in and day out with the stream.
And, you know, there's this great irony to this, because we always joke that, like, Pete wants to position himself as doing the job that nobody else can do. So he makes things kind of, like, purposefully more difficult for people.
Right.
For Cap, he's the only guy that can do the DA show remotely and you know, do the show. So on the one hand, he's completely indispensable. Like, we simply the show cannot exist without Cap. It can exist without the rest of us. It cannot exist without Cap. But in doing so, he's not allowed to ever take a vacation day.
And don't forget, he then goes, once he's done with us, he goes and does Moose and Maggie on WFAN. So, like, he and I are, you know, you guys are done at 10, 10:30 or 10:02 if you're peed. But, like, me and Cap keep going. So, like, when he's working at almost a double shift in terms of just hours. So he's really stuck in front of a computer for forever. So if anyone needs time off, it's him.
5 days a week, every day during pandemic, a double, while we've all complained about who's getting days off. It's unbelievable the job Cap's done. Really, that should be applauded here at the end of the PGP.
And that's why when our management told me before Sunday Morning Football, which used to be on the stream, they're like, hey, you know, we've tapped Cap out. We just don't have anybody that can do this. I'm like, don't worry about it. Let's make sure at least he has a two-day weekend. Because, Mraz, were we on video during pandemic when we did the Sunday show?
No, we were not. We were not.
Oh, okay. All right. So he had the full weekends back then, too.
Yes. But still, I mean, think about it. Guys, we all needed those mental breathers. This guy, 5 days a week doing two shows, and we know when we wake up, the link to get on Zoom, like, everything is there. He's altered the different streams we've had to use to figure out what's best quality. He's had us getting ring lights. Like, he has been so on his game, and he has to be so mentally worn down. It's unbelievable, and doesn't get the chance to, you know, vent or anything on air because he's back home. It's incredible what Cap's done for this show.
Yeah, and I was thinking about this. How long ago, Mraz, does it feel like we were doing the Sunday show when pandemic first struck and we had to kind of like limit staffers in and out of the building? They asked the full-timers to do weekend shifts as well. And so we picked up Sunday early afternoons, right?
Yeah.
Early afternoons. And so
I think it was, because we were doing the witching hour from 3 to 4.
That's right. Segment. So we were doing the 5 days a week on the mornings, then on Sundays 1 to 4. We did that until July. We did that
before
March.
Before sports started, right? We were going up against NASCAR races, DA. NASCAR would be on the timer.
So we did 6 shows a week without sports. And, boy, that feels like a long time ago, doesn't it?
It does. That was unbelievable. Yeah, we didn't mind at first, but as soon as it started to be 90 degrees out and the sun was shining, it was a little tough, 1 to 4, to be inside down here doing shows.
Well, this was a hell of a year, guys. You guys enjoy your time off next week. I can't wait to hear how the Christmas morning and the New Year's Day shows go for you. Now that you got Shep in for New Year's Day, Mraz. I don't.
Just what we need for 2021 when everybody wants a new year to start. Me waking up with Shep while you guys sleep in after watching that ball drop. It's going to be quite the treat on New Year's Day.
Oh, God. It reminds me of January 1, 2015, and I remember this very specifically because we had to work the overnight show going into January 1, 2015, and so I took off the next day was a weekend or something because I met my wife the night of January 1, and I went out to watch the Sugar Bowl with friends at a bar in New York City, and then she came with another friend, and that's how we met. And I remember thinking, like, once we got together and, you know, we were a couple, I was like, wow, my life changed after January 1. Usually, like, the morning January 1 rolls around, it's like, oh, my life changed after New Year's Eve. My life changed really the night of January 1 going to January 2. That's going to be this. Like, we're going to have to get through the pummeling of having Shep on the show the morning of January 1 to then restart fresh January 2.
I can't stress enough, DAs. Everybody looks at the new year ending going, what a terrible year. I can't wait to start anew. My entire night is going to be thinking, what is Shep going to screw up tomorrow morning? I hate this year already. That is exactly what's going to happen to me next week. So I'm going to enjoy Christmas and a couple days off beforehand just to get ready for this disaster that's ready to unfold.
Well, more on that, Bogues, coming up here next. Side B, did you know is 45 minutes of Shep?
Is that enough? I think I might need like a full hour on the Shep circle.
Nightmare.
All right. All right, this has been Side A, Side B with Shep, coming up right now.
Howdy, doo-doo-doo. Welcome to Side B, the PGP. This is Mraz, host of Side B, executive producer of the DA Show. A special Side B today, Andrew Bogish, going to sit one out. He's going to sit a play out. No Pete the Body either, who seems to be on a never-ending amount of days off, which created a little bit of chaos last week on the DA Show, as I'm sure many of you realized and heard, and you heard us rehash a little bit on last week's PGP. So we could have just let that go, let it die, and had Side B with Bogish and I breaking down the last of the 12 DAs. But no. Up through the ladder arose such a clatter. It is Dave Shepard, the man they call Shep, who has texted both DA and I looking for this opportunity, I guess, to speak his piece of the mind, speak his piece of this. And I have to be honest, folks, I don't exactly know where this is going, how this will turn out, but I'm intrigued nonetheless. Shep, hello, how are you?
Hey, Mraz, thank you for having me. I just feel, pits in my stomach, and I know you know that feeling. I know you get on the mic a lot and you're a host, but you remember what it's like to be in that position when you're behind the board and you respect the host and you like the host and all you want to do is do right. And it just completely backfires. And it's just the worst feeling in the world. And you probably remember those days, your first or second year working with DA. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. I mean, I remember a lot of days where I made mistakes, well, especially very early on in my radio career part-time. And especially, you know, let's face it, the first 2 years of the DA Show, of course, there were growing pains. It was my first full-time gig, and the intricacies of all of that, for sure there was. For sure there was. Right. There's no doubt about that. But I guess, all right, as I try to figure out where to lead with this, let me just say this. What happened last week on the DA Show, and I think you understand the Shep, was, I mean, if you want to say anything about the first 2 years of the show, that's fine. Some of the most just, it was like a problem after another problem after another problem. And I do think not all of it was your help, was your fault, I should say. As I said, I thought that Pete didn't necessarily put us in a position to win. But let's face it, you know, there was some of it that frankly was your fault. So there were quite a few mistakes on the show. We could rattle them off one by one the way we wanted to go and go, you know, play whose blame is it. But it sounds to me early on, with your initial response out of there, like you are sincere and feel bad, but you almost painted a picture that you wanted to compare yourself to me in the first 2 years of the DA Show, as that's the type of mistakes you made, so they should be expected. Is that the read you're trying to give?
Hell no.
Okay.
The place I'm coming from is there's four things that I want to accomplish.
Okay.
And the first thing, first and foremost, is I want another shot, because
okay,
the Wednesday you saw is me. That's who David Shepard is. You remember you and I working together when you were filling in for DA and the Christmas Eve.
Right.
And you remember, by the way, God bless Andrew Filippone, man. My God, my heart goes out to him. Jeez. Sorry for that, but God damn. I don't know if you can say that or not, but anyways, the reason I bring up Filippone was because we didn't have a connection, and there was no engineer, and he's doing a show the whole time from the phone, and I'm trying to call an engineer at home, and no one's picking up, so that was so chaotic. You remember that.
Right. That's right.
But,
okay, now it's dawning on me. I remember
right,
the day well now,
right.
Yes.
You're like, where's he going with this? But the point is, and I've also run a board and produce for you before, but especially that particular instance when I was more comfortable, I wasn't, you know, 10 days back at CBS, that's where I really found my groove. So you know what I can do, Mraz. You know I can do this job.
So the
well,
listeners listening aren't going to know what you're referencing here, but this was, I want to say it was, might have been Christmas Day last year. Do I have that right?
It was, yeah.
Okay, so Christmas Day last year, for everybody listening, we had a CBS Sports Radio a bit of a short out as far as lines went. And I woke up on Christmas morning, and I was due to host the DA Show that day. I was going to work Christmas Day for the show, make sure the listeners had somebody there. And the show at that time, obviously, was 9 a.m. to noon Eastern, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific. So I woke up around 6 a.m., and I wanted to do Christmas morning with, obviously, my wife. And I had just had a newborn daughter that was 3 days old, and we were going to just open up gifts, and I was going to get on the road. And I got a text or a call from Shep in a panic that Andrew Filippone was on the air. His line had dropped. Obviously, no bosses are really around on Christmas morning, and Shep, to his credit, as he just described, had to make a call about what to put out over the air, and he got Andrew Filippone up to do host the show while on the phone while trying to get me to come in a little earlier to fix that problem. And Shep, to your credit, as you point to that, I understand you want to point to your good moments. That was thinking like a boss in real time. What can I do to make this sound relevant? And you did a good job. So to your point, know what you could do? Yes, you could think on your feet and you could do that. And I do think that last week when you were in for 2 days, one day was really bad. The other day, something bad happened that I don't necessarily think was your fault. It wasn't your fault, and that was DA losing internet connection. We lost them for an hour. We tried to do some, you know, things to fix the audio, and it became overwhelming on you, but it was nothing you did wrong. And I think you just kind of were put in a spot where you had a bad day, and then a bad day technologically wise found you.
Right.
And it compounded itself, and I think you got caught in the rundown. But that being said, for all the good thinking you do on your feet and the bad positions you were in, I don't think you helped yourself last week when problems arose. Now, yes, there are a lot of elements to the DA show? Absolutely. Had it been a long time since you had trained on the board and had Pete the Body Bilotti done a bad job, I'll even forget an average job or he could have done better. Pete did a bad job of training you. I absolutely agree with that. Is there a situation right now during a pandemic where maybe finding multiple people to train on a show is even harder? I agree with that, and I'm not trying to line up excuses for you. That being said, you do run a board at CBS Sports Radio. You are a board operator for many shows on the weekend. You brought up, obviously, Andrew Filippone. You've been doing this now a long time. You left for a little bit. You were obviously a great teacher down in the Memphis School District. And at the same time, you've produced the DA show. So even though you haven't run the board for the DA show, you've run the board for other shows and produced a show where you at least should be familiar with elements. And I do have to be honest with you, Shep. It came across on Tuesday as if you had walked in and basically were asking you to learn a new language and you weren't familiar with the show at all. Now, I know running the board and producing are two different things, but don't you think it's fair to say us being upset at you when you factor in that you at least knew the show even if you didn't run the board – while also running the board for other shows, you know, it maybe should have still been smoother than you made it have to be?
Well, I am just being 100% sincere right now. I take responsibility for it. I should have never said yes. That's what it comes down to.
Okay.
I wasn't ready.
You weren't prepared.
There's a lot that goes – I'm sorry, say that again, Maris?
No, I'm saying you weren't prepared to run the board for the DA show. Now, hold on. Before you finish what you're going to say –
yeah.
Was the reason you said yes because you're a part-timer that, you know, obviously wants to make money and any shift you can get your hands on, you're going to say yes? Or did you say yes because you wanted basically the challenge and you like us? I mean, you could be honest about that because I've been there as a part-timer looking to make money as well.
Oh, Marez, it has nothing to do with the money because I spent an Uber getting there. I'm coming home with a net of $35.
Okay.
It has nothing to do with the money. The reality is, you know how much I respect you and Bogus and NDA. You know, I know how kind you guys have been to me on air and even more importantly off the air. And so I heard everything you guys said. I heard everything you guys said in the PGP. I heard everything you guys said on Thursday. I heard everything you guys said on Friday.
Okay.
And that hurt, not because of the comments, but because I know that I put you guys in that position. And I never should have said yes. But with that being said, if you ask Andy Gresh, if you ask Jody Mack, if you ask Chris Moore, if you ask John Kincaid, now those are the four guys I work with the most since being back, they will give you a completely different narrative about who I am on that board. Forget the producing aspect of it, just on the board itself. And so that makes me feel even worse because the guys that – so the one time I get to work with you guys on the board – I completely F up.
Let me ask you this, Shep. Please. Why didn't we see that guy then? That guy you talk about on those four shows. Why didn't we see that guy?
I wasn't ready. I didn't know what to do. You know, I open up. Listen, it's on me. This is 100% on me. I take full responsibility for it. Just to be factual with you though, when I open up the folder, and I'm seeing 2,000 different things.
Right.
I don't, because here's the thing. I'm not here to take a shot at anybody, I promise you. But to be honest, things are labeled very similarly. And so if you don't know, and so you have to listen to it before you play it, then you have to listen to that before you play it, then you have to go back to the podcast and make sure that's the one. So it's a whole systematic process that I had to go through, and it threw me for a loop. But I hope Wednesday was indicative of who I am as opposed to Tuesday. But look.
Hold on, before you continue, Chef. The only thing I'll say about this, and this goes back to my earlier point. You've produced the show, and I know obviously somebody who's produced the show for a long time.
Right.
When I produce the show, I still see that same folder of audio elements that you see, because whether it's putting sound check clips in, like I'm aware of how the audio looks and how overwhelming it can look. But you opening that up on the board, it's as if you never saw that folder that you're speaking of that overwhelmed you before. Like, don't you think for producing the show, maybe that was something that mentally you should have been prepared for?
Well, I mean, look at it. If we want to break it down piece by piece, I mean, how was sound check?
Okay, that was fine. That's not necessarily my point. But your point is that was something you produced, so you ran the board fine.
Those are the basic elements for DA show. That I didn't mess up for you guys. I didn't mess up the cold open. Now, with bringing down the bed, as DA alluded to, I've worked with 1,000 different hosts in the last 2 years, being part-time. I can name you over 100 guys, and I'm literally being sincere about the 100 guys. There's no exaggeration there. So I should have listened to the show previously and said, you know what, let that bed run. And you know Justin Termini. You know those guys at Sirius Mraz. A lot of them, they want that music coming down right away. So I should have known better.
Well, okay. All right. Well, no, so hold on. Instead of losing sight on this. So,
yeah.
All right. And this is what's going to take me. And I guess to my issue with you, the more I sit on it.
Sure.
I tend to think that in that situation Tuesday, and knowing you and working with you for a long time, I think, a running thing with you is, as you said, you listen to everything post. We know you really want to do a good job. And we know that you're willing to work hard. And generally, you could work with anybody who's willing to work hard. But...
Right.
Is it fair to say, Shep, you find yourself as a bit of an overthinker, or at times maybe you outthink yourself and make things more complicated than they have to be? And then as a result, like you're talking about the opening music, which was just, another problem that happened, it's almost like you're scared to ask a question because you don't want to like rattle us or make us think that we're not confident in you. When in reality, asking a question every 15 minutes just to make sure you get it right is totally fine. So two-parter, do you think you overthink things? And B, were you just scared to ask before certain things?
No, I don't think I overthink things. I think that day I just didn't know what I was doing. So Mraz, there are so many things I could have done differently. I mean, that's reality. And I obviously there's no one that feels worse about it than me. And that's kind of what I was bringing up in the beginning is you know what it's like. You're removed, but you're not too far removed. So you can relate to it on that level. And the reason we both feel that way is because we care so freaking much about this. Because I remember it was 2 years ago when I first, really when I first got back. And you came up to me and said, you're playing too many drops on Robin Lundberg.
I did. I was listening to another show and I thought you were doing too much.
So I don't know how much you listen now with having Taylor, because I can't imagine how busy your life is.
Hey, but the fact that you were hosting, it's a lot busier than it used to be. Yes.
Right. But the fact that you were hosting, because let's be honest, how many other hosts are really listening to other hosts? It doesn't happen a lot. But that says the level of dedication you have. But Mraz, look, I can rehash this, and I can pick this apart.
But here's
where I'm coming from, and this is where I'm coming from. I'm not saying I'm great. But you better believe I want to be great.
I want one more shot at it.
You never have to have me produce. You never have to have me. You don't even have to have me listen to the show. You can ban me from tweeting at you guys. I want one more shot.
Ban you from
I know
tweeting
I can do right by your show and you and DA. I know I can.
All right. Well, look, first of all, I don't have the power to grant that necessarily. But
you have power. You got some power. Don't downplay your power here.
And I'm not telling you no on that. And look, are you saying the right things right now? Yes. Do I think you might be in denial on some things? Shep, if we're being honest, yes. Like when you say you don't overthink things, Shep, I do think in the process of wanting to do hard, you're the kind of guy, if you were a mechanic and somebody went in and asked for an oil change, you would take apart the brakes and basically disconnect spark plugs to make sure you get the oil done first without just doing the oil. Like that's the kind of guy you are. It's like you take 15 left turns to get around the block.
I don't I don't know about that one, Mraz.
I do feel like you do that. I do have to be honest. And I just think that this is a show with obviously a lot of elements. As you know, there's a lot of moving parts, and I'm not saying it's easy because obviously I've had my tough days, but it was a show you were aware of, and it felt like you allowed one problem to become two problems, to become three problems. And I think there are plenty of other guys we've had fill in who have made a mistake, maybe made two mistakes, but they focus in and they make sure they don't make another. It's just, you have to admit, other guys have filled in after not doing the show, and it hasn't gone as poorly as that. I mean, is that fair to say that, like, that what happened with you is not a common thing that happens with people on the show?
Well, if we really want to break that down, it's my fault. But I would say two things again, not to be repetitive here, but look at Wednesday. I mean, that's not compounding a mistake. That's learning from your mistakes and saying, I got this. And I'm not going to let one bad – I'm not going to let an 0-for-4 day rattle me. And I came back, so, and I could have had the same kind of day. And I believe it was the exact opposite. Now, look, if we want to be really specific and meticulous about the one mistake and not playing a bet underneath DA's live read, I didn't know that. You know, should I have listened back to the show?
No, I think you're right. But again, you didn't ask, right? Like, you went on assumptions a lot. And assumptions can be dangerous. No, look, I'm just saying.
But you don't know what you don't know. Like you get what I'm saying?
No, I get it. But I would think that coming into Wednesday, and again, I don't think you did a bad job Wednesday. Unfortunately, I don't think we saw fully what good a job you could have done because we had the whole internet problem with DA, and that's no fault of anybody's. But, like, you kind of got an incomplete on Wednesday, even if you did a good job, just because we never got the full 4-hour experience of what you could – you know what I mean? Like, that's not your fault. And I do think that that would bother me if I was you, for sure. But
there's Mraz. We got to be fair. To be fair, I think you guys did right by me in how you talked about me Wednesday. There was no different element on Wednesday that a DA was there. It was the exact same thing. So we have to call a spade a spade. There was nothing I did differently for you guys that would have been different from when DA was there.
Okay,
and
so
if anything,
listen.
I was dealing with something that was completely out of anyone's control.
No, well,
and
that is true.
Right, and at the same time, I was also dealing with someone over the phone who was completely throwing me under the bus without any knowledge of what was actually going on and taking shots at me, and I had to deal with that.
So, all in all,
considering I did everything that would have been the same if DA was hosting, that's not incomplete. That's not fair.
Okay, that brings
that's,
us
that's
to
That's not fair.
That brings us to our, to my next two points. So,
right.
I think of all the problems that I, and by the way, you listened, and I think I was pretty fair in telling you what bothered me about Pete, or telling DA what bothered me about Pete, or what bothered me about you.
Right.
Was I not fair about that? I didn't put all the blame on you, okay? And everybody knows that.
I thought you were fair, 100%.
Okay. So I
appreciate that. You're right.
So that being said, that brings us to the next point. The person over the phone you referenced is Pete. Now, let me tell you, the night before you were due to fill in, and Pete took off on very short notice, and you were thrust into the spot, and you said you should have said no, and you said yes, and yada, yada, yada. The one thing that I had a little scarred in me leading into you was that I don't have access to what we call a read packet, which has all our sponsorship reads and everything, which are saved on the computers back at the office, and Pete takes care of that. And we had another part-timer fill in. I guess it was a couple months back during the pandemic, and he told me, yeah, I know where it is, and screwed the whole thing up. Now, he didn't screw anything
else
up.
Hour and a half he took, right.
Right, hour and a half. He didn't screw anything else up that day, but it was bad. So I have made a point of saying, like, hey, the night before, if I know somebody's filling in, do you know where this is? If not, can I walk you through it? You told me not a problem. Pete, I kind of told you where everything was, and then I saw you sent over the read packet, assumed it wasn't an issue. Now, you took the time, despite not finding where it was, to draw it up and make a new one. My problem, though, is DA ends up doing a read that is for a Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and you had it in there on a Tuesday. And when I asked you about it, your response was, well, the log is always wrong, so I don't go by the log. Now, this is the one of all the mistakes, Shep, that I found to be – I'm sorry, I found it to be egregious. Now, as it turns out, was there a mistake on the log that had nothing to do with the mistake you made that day? Yes, there was. Have there been mistakes on the log? As always, yes. But in my opinion, Shep
– you know, for all the grid's still there, by the way?
What happened?
you know, Pharrell on the grid is still there.
Yes, I see that, and I get that there's problems. But in my opinion, Shep, and I think maybe you should learn this valuable lesson, if you're not the one that sends the log, and that is somebody who is supposed to be like a boss or whatever that goes with it, shouldn't you let that person flounder and you just stick to what's on that log? And if it doesn't turn out to be there, you did nothing wrong because you stuck to the log. Don't you think that winging it like you did and then making DA read something that is so not the case and it was a read from like 2 years ago, like, don't you think that's a major problem? Don't you think, like, you made that harder on yourself by just saying, well, the log's always wrong, so I'm not going to trust the log? Just go by the log and let the log be wrong. Then you're not the one who's at fault.
So, full disclosure, and I'm being dead serious about this. I'm being dead serious. Okay. I was not trying to go rogue. I forgot what day it was, honestly.
You forgot what
Yes. That's the truth. I just forgot what day it was, and I apologize, and I was wrong for that. I wouldn't go against the company, but the read that I gave you guys, I know that the full O'Reilly read is not there, so I went back to an old Vesegria email that he sent me for 1,000. That's why you guys got that, because there's not the O'Reilly copy in there. So it wasn't.
Well, that's true.
Yeah,
that's true. But it would have been if you were able to find you. The other problem was we have a drive, like a hard drive on the computer system in the newsroom. For those of you who have been at any office would understand, it's called the S drive. It's the number,
right,
the letter of the drive. And you said you weren't,
right,
even aware it existed, which to me was another problem, Chip, because that's where the read packets were. How could anybody work in that newsroom the last 3 years and not know an S drive exists? That's where everybody's people, personal stuff is saved.
Raz, I know where the S drive is. Come on now.
I thought you said you didn't know where that drive was.
When did I say that?
When I said it, same thing that you said you couldn't find it, you didn't even know where the drive was.
No, I know. I said I couldn't find the reads. I know what the S. I know what the W is. The S.
Well,
the T. Come
but
on
in
now.
My okay, so not to get too technical, I'll argue about this.
Yeah.
But I specifically said, hey, go to my people folder in the S drive. Now you could find that because everybody has a people folder, and there's a little search. I said specifically with the search, and it would come right up. I don't understand how you couldn't find that searching.
And what I kind of realized is, Mraz, all the computer, you can ask Connor this, by the way, all the computers are different. And that's what part of the problem was. I'm just breaking it down for you. And I realized that after the show, like, ask Connor this, when you go to, and you know how, like, there was Axe, we call it Axe computer because he was always there pre-pandemic.
Right.
If you go to that computer, it fast forwards the audio. So it sounds like a broken cassette. Some computers, like, it doesn't roll in stuff, and if it rolls in stuff, it sounds like they're talking from a basement. I'm telling you, there is just so much that you have to work against just to get the right read. And my fault was I went to a computer that it didn't show up on. And I know that seems bizarre. Ask Connor this. Ask Connor Green this. There are certain computers in that space where you go to, if you put an audio, it fast forwards it like 3 times. Like, that's what we're working with. Just being honest. So
right.
I know it seems bizarre that would happen. But, Mraz, but this is really why I called. This is truly why I called and why I wanted to kind of make this happen, though. I want another shot, first and foremost. Two, I want to start all over with Bilotti because –
Well, okay, but hold on. Before you even say that, that was going to be my next question. Because
right.
We ended up having to have Pete on the phone on Wednesday, Shep. He's listening in delay and he's trying to do this. And, you know, there's a point in time where I'm going to break and, you know, he's basically yelling at me about something. And you're yelling at me through the years. Like, what is the deal with you two? Like honestly, what is the problem? Why can't you two get on the same page?
There's things that he's done in the past to me that I felt like were I felt like they weren't necessary. You know, and I'm sure he looks at it and says there's things I do that weren't necessary. But that's
okay.
But that's kind of when I texted you in DA this, I said I just want to keep this positive. Like, we can rehash this, but we're both going to have different interpretations of what happened.
No, that's fine. But obviously, this is a main crux of it too. Like, the guys on the show, that's the guy you're filling in for. And I would say it's a little bit of a disconnect where if you have to fill in for him and he's supposed to be helping you and all this, and then you two aren't getting along, like that's kind of an issue, is it not?
It's 100% an issue. And that's the problem is we don't, and that's kind of getting what I was going to say about that anonymous source that you mentioned. I don't know who that anonymous source is. And I have no problem if someone wants to critique me and judge me. That's fine. That's human nature. But to do it as an anonymous source, when you know the kind of grinding, or maybe I should use another word, the kind of due diligence that we have all put into that place and the blood, sweat, and tears that we have put into that place, and that they wouldn't think enough of me to have that conversation, because at the end of the day, who are they hurting? If they don't care an iota about me, it's hurting the company by not having that dialogue with me. And right. And that's what I didn't, that's what was the most hurtful about this all, is that I work in a space where people talk behind my back and don't have the, I don't want to say the professionalism, but just the goodwill, the good intentions to have that conversation with me, because at the end of the day, we're all on the same side and we're the most competitive, one of the most competitive businesses there is. And for someone like Pete and me to not get along, like, that should never be the case. So I'm throwing an olive branch to Pete. I promise you, I will never come at him. I'll be respectful. You know, we may not be the same type of people. Obviously, we all don't even hang out with each other outside of work. Most of us don't. So that's so it's not like that's going to change. But I promise you, and I promise Pete, it's a clean slate. And 2020 has given us enough adversity. We don't need to be giving it to each other.
Okay. And I do think that's the positive attitude to have. I can't speak for Pete and all of that, right. And I think that's totally fair. Now, as far as basically the theme of why you wanted to come on now, as you've spoken your mind and I've kind of voiced where I thought maybe you do things wrong, and I'm not exactly – I'm going to have to go back and re-listen to all of this. You know what I mean? Like, listen as a listener. As you mentioned, I listen to sports radio and kind of consume every word you say and think about it. I will tell you this. Do I have the power to grant you, like, of course, all right, you're going to fill in the next time Pete's off? I don't. But I know this. I believe you were going to get a soft opening into this, basically. And what I mean by that is New Year's Day morning, I will be on the air hosting the DA show as everybody takes off. And I will be in this chair. And from what I gather, I don't know if you've been told or not, that will become a chance for you. Now, that is a rough spot and a rough morning for anybody in radio. You're talking about on the air 6 hours after the ball drops on New Year's Eve. I don't know if you've been officially asked this, but I believe that you will be, and I believe it'll be just you and I, because Bogus will be off, and it'll be a football Friday. They will be up the gut. There will be all the fixins that we can go with. There won't be DA, but that doesn't mean the show will have any less expectations. I mean, if I'm going to work New Year's Day on a Friday morning, you know, I expect the show to run smoothly. If that goes well, you know what I mean? That kind of could be your spring training. Like, that, and then I become the voice in your corner. You know what I mean? Like, all right, you know what? He did well. I think he's up for the challenge. But if it doesn't go well, that really could be adios. So, is that enough of a spot for you where you would accept that challenge and come to play? Because that's not an easy shift to work shift. You talk about being up for 40 straight hours, which we haven't even gotten to. You know, 6 a.m. after New Year's Eve night, that's a rough one. I mean, are you up for that?
Mraz, I was born for it. I mean, not to get so silly about this, but come on now. Like, I'm working with someone that I respect. There's no, I mean, obviously anybody I work with, I'm going to show up and bring my best, but there is no question in my mind that I'm not going to show up and give you my absolute best, and that the show's not going to sound anything but great. That I promise you. And
all right,
if it doesn't, unfollow me on Twitter, defriend me on Facebook, and if I ever say the name DA or Mraz, sue me for libel. Serious I am about showing up and doing right by you guys.
I'd argue that unfollowing you on Twitter would be more of a reward for me than a punishment, but I understand what you're saying.
that's not nice. No, I'm just kidding. That's actually funny.
The only thing I'll tell you this, Shep, is if we're being fully honest and full disclosure, please. You know, with me taking the shift, 6 a.m. New Year's Day, obviously, you know, this was kind of last minute that I'm going on it. I mean, obviously, with the year that 2020 has been a terrible year, I'm not going to not stay up and watch the ball drop at midnight. So, obviously, I know I am going to be tired, but I'm still going to come out and I'm going to give it my energy, because anybody waking up to start the year fresh on sports radio is going to look for fresh takes. And I have a job to do for those 4 hours, no matter how tired I may be. And I can't have that job be made more difficult by incompetence. So, I need you to rise to the occasion. You're asking for a chance. That is going to be, I mean, it's a chance because it is the DA show and it's me, even if it's not with DA, but that is a bridge to building this reputation back up. And I need to know that you're going to be there and I can count on you because if I'm out there swimming and having to make up problems on basically 4 hours sleep after a ball drops, like, that is going to be a bad way for a lot of people in their cars, at home, on Alexa, sports fans, they were to start their new year listening to basically a show that sounds like a circus. We can't have that day.
So if you I want to make something very clear, and this is the only thing I felt unfair about, and I told DA this when we talked. My reputation there shouldn't take a hit because of what happened on Tuesday. Now, you guys can be disappointed in me, and rightfully so, but you know what? I was put in a really tough situation. And when you do a morning show and you're asked at 4 o'clock that afternoon and you already woke up at 5 a.m. that day, that's going to be an obstacle and a barrier to overcome. So
sure.
I got to get some credit. I got to get a little bit of credit for just saying yes and willing to do it. Because okay. The message to me is, because I'm not going to name names. I could be certain people and just say no. No, I don't want to get up and help the channel. I don't want to do something right by the channel. I want to split in. Now, because someone's willing to fail and do something different, their reputation then takes a step back.
Well, the only thing I'll say,
you know, someone who has a 7-year career, Mraz, they're not judged by one day. That's not fair. And then when they bounce back the next day, yeah.
Okay, just hold on, because I don't want to spin in circles, because I felt like we were getting near a good rep. But let me just say this: yes and no to what you're saying. You're not the first person at 4 p.m. on short notice who's been up early in the morning to be asked to come in and fill in. But you are the first to have 7 to 10 mistakes the next morning. So while it seems like you're making an excuse, understand you're not the first person that's been put in that position, but you are the first in the position to make that many mistakes. So while I do want to give you credit for stepping up, you also in that spot, not that it's a common thing that's happened, but you, as far as it being on your reputation, you're certainly somebody now, when you think of it, that is a bad moment. Like, Billy Buckner had a great career, a very good career. He's remembered for the ball going between his legs. You know what I mean? Like that was a Buckner moment for you that now
lost.
It's on you to build back up the reputation. I mean, Jacob Wilkins had great moments on the DA show, and now he's basically remembered for half-assing a bit while he's in Las Vegas and falling asleep on the air. And that's tough to come back from. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, but listen, that's the hot take on Bill Buckner. You guys are better than that. And everyone working at CBS is better than that.
Okay.
Because this isn't a fan of the DA show. This is employees and colleagues that I've worked with for years and years and years. And I'm disappointed that my name was mentioned in a negative way in terms of my reputation. That's the only thing I take away and say that was unfair.
Okay, because, I don't want to keep carrying on with this. Now you have your first opportunity to change that, and that is earning back at least my trust, even if the DA's not there on New Year's Day. So you know what's in front of you. You know the deal. Soundcheck will be there. Up the Gut will be – like, we're going to run a DA show. Target Demo will be there. We're going to run a DA show on New Year's Day like it's a regular DA show.
Am I doing an epic sale? Are we gonna have a pre-recorded epic sale?
No. I'm throwing everything at you. Like, if you want this challenge, everything is being thrown at you. It is on you to rise to that occasion.
And now you do realize, now Mraz, now let's be fair. You do realize I am completely by myself.
Yes, you are.
And running all these elements and answering calls and all this, I'm also expected to make an epic sale. Lean on someone in the newsroom. But
that is fine. Hold on now. What is fair? It's not like we have another I'm producing and hosting the show from back here. In the middle of me talking, am I supposed to be cutting that epic fail?
Well, for example, like if you know there was another No, listen, I'm gonna rise to the challenge.
It sounds to me, Shep, like you're already 2 weeks ahead of time pre-planning an excuse for something. And I'm not telling you it's easy, but you're the one asking for this opportunity. You're going to get thrown some stuff at you. Rise up, and let's earn the worth, right?
Yeah.
Find a way. Don't find an excuse.
I like that. Now, speaking of finding, the person that said what they said about me, and this is the only issue I have, and I'll let you go after this. I know you got a lot going on, is if you listen to the PGP and you listen to the shows, it seems like I'm the biggest F-up in the world. And if you're going to mention Tuesday, mention all the other stuff I've done well. That's my thing. And you guys did it. And I appreciate what you guys said behind the scenes to me, because that was very kind and encouraging. But if you would have listened to that, it's not a fair reflection of what I've done.
Okay.
And what's even more unfair is that we work in a company where people take shots at you and don't come up to you face to face as a man and say, look, this is what you need to work on for this channel to be better. And that's the only thing I would say to anonymous sources. That's not fair. That's not professional.
That's not
what adults do.
That's totally fine. You know that we have told you our problems and we've aired it out and we did it here. So Shep, we've done this long enough. We will leave it at that. New Year's Day, rise to the occasion. That's the only thing I will say.
Raz, in all seriousness, man, thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
Okay. All right. So there you have it. That's Side B of the PGP. Shep and me together on New Year's Day. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at MerazCBS. Have a great week, everyone.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.